Thanks, team, for leading us to worship before God, right? They're not the performers for us to watch. They lead, we together perform. We not perform, but worship before God. Give Him the glory and the honor. If we continue in our series, Living in Our Identity and Out of Our Identity in Christ, this is the last one. We're done Ephesians today. And though it's taken us some months, we took out some time for Advent and Christmas, it's still gone by way too quick. I don't know if you have this sense, but I sure do. I still need to apply a lot of this to my life. Really grow in my identity, as the first three chapters say, and learn to live it out in relationship, real relationship. As Paul closes this off, he does two significant things here, at least in these four verses. First couple of verses, he informs and encourages. We want to do a bit of that this morning here. And then he speaks peace, a blessing of peace upon them. We bless some children here this morning. He speaks a blessing of peace into their lives. But there's a responsibility that comes with that as well. So we want to look at both of these pieces this morning. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, beginnings and endings are important. This is the end of Ephesians, and we want to take it to heart. We don't want to miss something that you have for us. Help us hear you this morning. Encounter you. Encounter your living word. And walk out of here more accurately, out of our true identity in you, in such a way that it impacts all of our relationships. Lead us and guide us, God, for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. So we'll look first at this inform and encourage in verses 21 and 22, chapter 6 of Ephesians. It says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Paul, right at the end of this letter, he says, I'm sending this guy in the living flesh to you to inform you, let you really know how we're doing, what we're up to, and that he would encourage your hearts. His two pieces. This is virtually, almost exactly, word for word, the end of Colossians chapter 4, which says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Now, why send this guy? He could have just ended off and said, good, now go live this out, or something like that. This Tychicus will come and inform the congregation of the apostles' personal situation. He's going to give them more detail in person than what's in this letter. He's an especially dear brother and a valued colleague of Paul, who had rendered reliable service to him, or as it says there, a faithful minister and fellow servant, right? He comes with high praise. It's incredible, valuable. And it recognizes the value of his work. In the Lord could mean in the Lord's work, the way he's done it, or else it could be a reference to the fact that he performs his task as one in the Lord, out of his true identity as a Christian. His true identity, and that's the way he carries this out. Paul is sending Tychicus for this express purpose of giving the Ephesians, and then the Colossians, since we've read that passage, the apostles' news and impressing his teaching on the congregation in order to strengthen them, encourage them. I mean, this is part of why I say every group in our church should functionally be a small group. So the maintenance team shouldn't just get together and do stuff and fix things. We are the body of Christ. We live out our accurate identity, being the body, the bride, the everything else that dealt with in the first three chapters here. And we recognize it's about people. And they are important. Relationships are of utmost importance. And those that serve on our maintenance team don't just fill a role. They don't do that first and foremost. First and foremost, they're people. They're created in the image of God. They're adopted sons or daughters. And they're bought and chosen. And so many other things that we've talked through in the first three chapters. And we need to relate to each other as that. Not just someone who comes and does their job, whatever that is, but growing in that relationship. Caring for one another. How are you really doing? He's coming to say, let you know all about how we are and our activities. Or as it said, you may know how I am and what I'm doing. But how I am is important. And it needs to be important in the church. We don't just do stuff and burn people out. Here, as long as you're doing that, filling the role, it's important who you are and that you're on journey. How are you really doing? How's your relationship going? We care for one another, right? Our Boys and Girls Club leaders care about one another, not just what's getting done. Sunday school leaders care for one another, right? All of it should functionally be a care group, how we do these things. And we hold positions. We serve in different ways, in different capacities, and this is important as well. In fact, nobody knows I'm going to do this. I just want people to stand up. When I name a ministry you're involved in or you take part in some way, you would stand up. We want to thank you. We want to encourage you in that. But we recognize it's out of your identity and you fill some of these roles. I hope I don't miss any, but I might, unfortunately. That's always the risk of doing something like this. But there's a bunch of support ministries that go on here that are behind the scenes. So I'm going to start with those. Support ministries would be our leadership board. Right? They don't come up in front, but if you're on our leadership board, stand up. On the finance team and doing the finances, our treasurers. Maintenance, and that includes the extra guys doing the shoveling, and custodial is part of that. Anything that cares for the building and the property related, supervisors for events, stand up. Kitchen, including funerals and stuff like that. Doing coffee, library, support ministry, important. I've got office in here, though it kind of falls in the next category as well. Worship and tech. Now, some of these fit into more categories. There's lots of people on a music team and doing tech. Cemetery. Realize it's a ministry of the church. It means a lot to families. Planning events like the picnic and stuff like that. I might have missed some of them, but this is some. We thank you, we bless you, and we hope you know you matter because of who you are first, and you do a valuable service to our church. Thank you. You may be seated. Here's others. Discipling ministries of our congregation. Nursery. There's some of these are internal, so that we, happens within this building. Nursery, Sunday school, children's church, clubs ministries, and youth, junior high youth. You know what? Stand up as I mentioned these. Sorry. And you know what? This is relationship. So if you attend those ministries, youth, clubs, if you're old enough, whatever, children's church, Sunday school, you stand up as well. If you attend those, because you're either there hindering what's going on or you're helping what's going on, we're going to assume the best. right? Because some of these other discipling ministries, we move on to small groups. So if you're in a small group, stand up. And it's not just the leader that stands up. It's everybody in that small group. We care for one another as people, as children of God. Ushers and greeters, they're the first people, face people sometimes, people see when they walk in here. These are some of our internal discipling ministries. We thank you. We bless you. We hope you know that you're important and you matter to God for who you are and for the roles you play. Thank you. You may be seated. Then there's some external ones that this congregation is involved in. Again, I'm going to miss some. There's Meals on Wheels going on. Our church plays a role in that. There's Bible time in the local school. There's visitation. Yes, please stand up. Actually, anybody, if you're actively visiting and caring for people, stand up. Because some of it's not organized. It doesn't have a title. But I know that some people take people to appointments and all sorts of organic ministry goes on. And it's good. It's a blessing. And we want to acknowledge it. So visitation. If you're involved in any of the seniors' services, right? The Sunny South Lodge, Coldale Health Center, some in Lethbridge, if you're involved in any of the services and ministries there. I hope I'm not missing other external ministries of this. I mean, we'll get into our partners here in a moment. But thank you. You're a minister and you're a child of God first, and your role in that ministry matters. Bless you and thank you. You may be seated. And then finally, I want to close with, I put it under the title missions. So if you're on the missions team, but this includes anyone serving with our partner ministries, if you've worked at camp, Camp Evergreen, Southern Alberta Bible Camp, or Crow's Nest Lake, yep, stand up. If you're involved in or served at or connected to in some way supporting a Bible school, we're partnered with a bunch of them, or MCC Thrift Store and the Relief Sale. Streets Alive, we just had the walkathon, so at least those 12 people that went on the walk and contributed to that. The Food Bank, Food Grains, Gideon's, Compassion, if we support one of those children back there, if your family supports one of those children, stand up. Or our missionaries, are you encouraging and engaging with our missionaries that we support through this congregation? It matters. You matter first and foremost, and your roles matter. This is what Tychicus was doing. We wanted to do it this morning and acknowledge you. Thank you. You may be seated. We bless you. He sends Tychicus. Here's how we're really doing, and relationship matters, right? Larry and Joyce, who we prayed for this morning, was sent in the Philippines. It's not just what they do, but it's who they are. And we come alongside them as co-laborers, as encouragers. There's so much more to it than just, hey, how many missionaries did you train and send out from the Philippines this year? Yes, it matters. First, it matters that their people, their identity, and together they're part of our identity. They are part of us. So Paul sends them to inform and encourage. Be encouraged. God is doing some great things. We need to encourage each other in our workplaces and in our schools and everything else. Then he moves on, and there's a peace aspect to this. A blessing of peace. Peace be to the brothers. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Now, as our tech team gets the video ready, I've said many times that peace is much more than the absence of conflict. And it's much more than we usually grasp. We can just pause that for a second. It's much more than we usually think of as our English word peace. And so there's some guys that have put together a series of videos from the Bible Project, a couple of seminary profs in the States. Here's some aspect of peace, on shalom, things really being made right.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole, complete human that I made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven and earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
Hopefully that helps. Some of these things you need to watch several times. Really, there's a lot in there. But are you experiencing eirene? Shalom. The whole book of Ephesians is written as a book of peace. It's another theme going through here. Do we know who we are as recipients of peace? In relationship with the God of peace. That he is our peace. He is our eirene, our shalom, setting things right. And then it's directional, right? Nobody's achieved this. Nobody lives this out perfectly, except for Jesus. But the rest of us, are we moving towards greater shalom, right? Just not the absence of conflict. Hey, great, we're not fighting together. I don't see any arrows shooting across the foyer or the sanctuary here this morning. That's a good start. But it's something better. Are we building? Are we working together to experience more and more eirene, shalom in our lives, peace, as we call it in English? But we lose a lot of this. These final words are prayer that refocus one of the main themes of the whole letter. This isn't something new he's bringing up at the end here. For messianic peace to come, we would experience that. That's our core identity. We're at peace with God. Not just that there's an absence of conflict, but we are working together with God towards something better. He's building. Are we partnering with him in that building of the kingdom of God? And it embraces the whole community, right? Chapters 4 to 6 is about living this out in all of our relationships. It's expressed in love and faith, the deepening of this in grace. If we look at the verses again, peace be to the brothers and sisters. I mean, he wrote to the inner core at the time, the way that it was understood, right? But brothers and sisters, and love with faith. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love, with love incorruptible. Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. This has been a theme throughout. We go back to Ephesians 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace, Irene. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He started out with this. This is a blessing on them and a desire. We're moving this direction. So he closes off with that same direction. We look at 2:14. Jesus tore down the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh. So there's not, tore it down. That broken wall, that division has been broken down in his flesh. Another concept in that same verse is he himself is our peace. He is the peace, right? No one comes to the Father but through me. In him we have, can experience Irene, shalom, things being made right. Ephesians 2:15, he abolishes in his life, in his flesh, the enmity, which is the law of commandments, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man. We talked about that. He's establishing peace between Jews and Gentiles. Whatever the dividing walls between us and God and us and anybody else, he's handled it. He's made a way for Irene. He becomes, he is the way, the truth, and the life. 2:17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. 4:3, make every effort, right? It shifts from the first three chapters to the second three, from verses, chapters 4 to 6. Now live this out. Here's your identity. He's accomplished all this in the first three chapters. Now live it out. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of Irene. Again, not just not conflict, right? We're good at MBs. I'm sure some other tribes, denominations are good at this as well, right? We put on the happy face on the outside, but we're not good at having honest conflict and working through to something better. We just want to pretend it doesn't exist or have other responses to it. But this is a peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Jesus didn't just say, okay, I'm not going to get into a battle with them when we rebelled. He actively comes and is born as a baby and pays the price. He makes a way. Conflict is like that. We need to walk through it to something better, to actually have Irene, to actually have shalom. The final words here are a prayer wish that refocus the main theme, as I said, of the whole letter. For messianic peace, things made right, that embraces the whole community expressed in love and faith, and for a deepening of his grace. This comes out of our identity. Once we understand that we're now at peace with God, again, not just absence of conflict, but on his team, building with him the same things he's building, working together. So how do we become peacemakers? I won't get into this real lot, but I do want to help us think about it as we close off Ephesians here. Jerry Bridges writes this, "To become peacemakers, then, we must begin with ourselves. Often we want to point out the wrongs others have done, but we begin with ourselves. We must ask ourselves, why do I make cutting remarks or have cutting thoughts about another person? Why do I make demeaning remarks about them? We must also ask ourselves, what causes my resentment toward that person?" Right? It's not just going over there, "Well, I didn't go over and punch him in the face." That's good. But it's more. Can we partner together? Can we work towards some common goals? Why do I have that, what causes the resentment toward that person? Why do I continue to nurse hurts by that person instead of forgiving? Forgiveness is a part of moving towards Arene, Shalom. What is it that causes me to be envious or jealous of that person? In order to even ask those questions, we have to admit that we have those attitudes. But because we know they are sinful, we tend to deny them, deny we even have them. If our identity is in Christ, we can face the weight of our sin and go, "Yeah, I've played a role in breaking that relationship." Even if it's 90, 10, or whatever percentages it is not that important, but I played a role in it. And further, I can play a role in building. And that's what we're called to. As followers of Jesus, we are builders. We are peacemakers, not just peacekeepers. And there's a dramatic difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. In their book, Peace Catalysts, or his book, Rick Love writes this about peacekeeping and peacemaking. Peacekeepers are conflict avoiders, sweeping important issues under the carpet so no conflict manifests itself. This often happens in families and churches. This also happens between alienated ethnic groups and countries. Peacekeepers separate two parties in order to prevent conflict and thereby keep the peace. Temporary separation for the sake of de-escalation, right, not making it worse, is a valid step in the process of peacemaking during a war and in radically broken marriage or relationship. Absolutely, take a healthy time out. When tensions and emotions run high, we need outside help to keep us from explosive reactions. Peacekeeping can become peace faking. It is a forced peace. It is also false peace. It's not moving towards shalom or arene, true peace. And God does not like false peace. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, writes in Jeremiah 6, saying, "Peace, peace, but there is no peace." True peace is not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of harmony. True peace is not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of harmony. This is what we're called to, brothers and sisters. And so peacemakers sometimes need to be peace disturbers. They need to shake things up, expose hidden hurt, hidden heart issues, or confront barriers to harmony. The Prince of Peace certainly disturbed the peace of the Pharisees more than once. Jesus relentlessly challenged them about their attitudes of superiority and judgment, two mindsets that divide rather than unite people. Moreover, Jesus said they did not have the love of God in their hearts. You can see that in John 5:42. He knew that the motivating power of God's love was lacking in the Pharisees and would undermine harmony in relationships. Martin Luther King Jr. had to do a lot of peace disturbing in the peacemaking effort we call the Civil Rights Movement. King boldly yet lovingly addressed hypocrisy and prejudice and injustices perpetrated at the time. And in order to move towards a harmony, he sought reconciliation between groups. Before there could be peace, the status quo had to be disturbed. peacemaking really does begin with us. And asking those hard questions, what's my role? I want to close with an illustration. It comes from, I don't even know, a book published by Eerdmans. I'm trying to find the title of it here. By Cornelius Platinga Jr., Not the Way It's Supposed to Be, A Breviary of Sin by Eerdmans. Scars tell a beautiful story, he tells. In their excellent book, Mending the Divides, John Huckins and Jer Swigert describe a Japanese pottery tradition that articulates the power of peace and reconciliation. When we speak of peace, we can call to mind the ancient Japanese pottery tradition called kintsugi. I don't know how to speak Japanese. With this technique, a clay pot vessel is broken and then put back together, but not in its original form, not even trying to match the original form. Instead, the restoration process involves pure gold that's put in between the pieces and the divides to heal the fissures. The broken vessel is put back together in such a way that it's stronger and more beautiful than it was before it was broken. In kintsugi, the scars tell beautiful stories of healing and restoration rather than painful stories of destruction. So can you imagine that clay pot being broken? And then it's the pure gold that it's knit together with again. Much like a stained glass window, right? It has just pieces of glass, but it's usually solder in the middle of that. This pure gold, and it's a picture of what can happen. So I want to close in a word of prayer as we end this series on Ephesians. Heavenly Father, as we think about that picture of a mended clay pot with pure gold, of certain some relationships come to mind, and maybe there's not an active conflict. But neither is there real harmony. You call us to harmony, to do everything that we can to live in that harmony, that shalom, that erene, relationships made right. You've made it possible. We want to carry it out by your power, by your strength, and in your leading. Father, I pray you would bring to mind any relationships where there is not harmony, where there's brokenness, where there's division, where there is ill will, where we're content to have mean thoughts rather than really actively working towards desiring and pursuing someone's best, really being able to partner together. We're not going to be best friends with everybody, but we can be at peace, erene, with anyone, by the power of your Spirit. So I pray you'd bring those relationships to mind. I pray you'd give us the courage to address those. If it's in some of our closer relationships, in our families, sometimes we need someone to help us. This whole letter is written to the people of God, not to the individuals of God. We need each other. Sometimes we need a mediator, a counselor, or a coach to be able to move towards this. I pray you give us the courage to take those first steps, reveal these things, that Ephesians wouldn't just be done, hey, that's great who we are in Christ. We would really take this to heart, and if we want to live this out, this affects every relationship, even the hard ones. Thank you that you are our peace. We pray for your leading this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen. As the team comes up,